Welcome back to Motormouth Radio. I'm your host, Motormouth Malone, broadcasting to you tonight from the sunny shores of Delaware County, Pennsylvania. This week, join me as we go back to middle school. Ooh, a time travel journey. A time before cell phones. If you weren't home, you were unreachable. Oh my goodness, what a time, what a journey, what a life we used to lead when no one could get a hold of us. That was so awesome. And you could DROP your friends a line by passing notes in class. It was easy to skip school without your parents knowing it. Maybe you used your stolen time to make out with your crush behind the bleachers. Or maybe you just went to Sonic and had a number one with pickles and a lemon berry slushy. I don't know your life. I only know my own, and that's exactly what I was doing. Did you have your first cigarette behind the gym? Maybe your first kiss in the library? If your school was like mine, there were popular kids and not so popular kids, handsome jocks, beautiful cheerleaders, science nerds, burnouts, band geeks, and beyond. Which one were you? Were you nice to people in school? I'm gonna let you think on that for a second. Who was your eighth grade crush? Jonathan Taylor Thomas doesn't count, guys. He's not even real. Come back with me to a confusing time where not one of us knew what was going on or how to handle our feelings, but TGIF could always be relied upon. Once upon a time in the eighth grade, Cameron was the most popular kid in school. He wore braces, but his wide smile was made even more charming with the additional hardware. Good-looking and well-liked, he played sports and participated in the art program. Cameron was an effortless overachiever. He made friends easy. He was the topic of many pass notes among the girls in school. How cute did he look in his uniform today? He smiled at me in the hallway and I almost died. He helped me with a quiz in homeroom. He's so nice. Also, in the eighth grade, was a girl new to this school. Adrian was a bit of a brainiac with an artistic streak. She played the flute and had joined the school band at her mother's urging. It had only been a week, and she hadn't quite found her footing. She'd skipped a grade already and was on course to skip another by high school. She'd had some trouble in the past, and she wasn't the best at making and keeping friends, but this school would be different. This would be her fourth school in 2 years, and as she was running out of options, her mother threatened a religious boarding school if she got into trouble again. On the first day of school, she met Cameron in art class and was immediately smitten. She introduced herself confidently and batted her eyes. Cameron was polite in return. She immediately figured out his schedule, and she knew where he would be coming from on the day of the accident, and she knew exactly how to make him notice her. In the hall one day, Adrian saw her opportunity. Cameron was just ahead of her, and she turned the corner to cut him off. She started to run as if she were running late to make the collision believable, and it was. Cameron was knocked to the ground, but quickly got to his feet, shocked but unscathed. He reached out his hand to help Adrian up. She took it happily and apologized. "No problem," he smiled as he helped her gather her things. "My hero," she thought to herself. She'd planned this perfectly. She left her backpack in her locker and carried all of her books to make it even more convincing and, of course, more dramatic. He stopped to help her gather her things, even though the whole thing was her fault. Adrian loved when a plan came together, and although this was simple, it worked. He noticed her. She created a romantic moment, just like in the movies. Her face flushed, her heart fluttered, she got a little dizzy. Later that day, she waited around after football practice. "Hey, Cameron," she called. He turned around as she pulled a Polaroid camera from her bag. I'm working on a special project for photography class about the football team. It's kind of a special project. Can I get a quick photo of you for it? Cameron set his bags down and happily complied. She thanked him and waved him goodbye. She let Cameron get ahead of her, and she followed him home. Crossing the street to the side his house was on, Adrian got close enough to see Cameron punch a code into the keypad on the garage. She saw the garage open, and Cameron disappeared inside. She turned on her heels and skipped home. The next day, she feigned a fever so her mother would let her stay home from school. Once her mother was gone, she grabbed a clipboard and a sheet of paper and made her way to Cameron's house. She walked up to the front door, rang the doorbell. A dog barked, but no answer. She made her way to the garage and punched the code she thought she saw Cameron use into the keypad. It didn't work. By the fifth try, the garage door opened and she hurried inside. "I hope the neighbors mind their own business around here," she muttered as she stepped into the kitchen. A dog barked and growled upstairs. She heard him jumping off a bed and he came to investigate. She opened the fridge and pulled out some lunch meat and kneeled down on the floor with it. He began to bark. "Nice puppy," she offered as she extended her hand. "We're going to be friends, Ranger." The large dog hesitated, but reluctantly came to her for some turkey. When he got close, she checked the name on his collar. "Max," she said out loud. "No, your name is Ranger now, isn't it, buddy?" He would become hers, too, before this was over. It's best they become acquainted now. Cameron will be so impressed by how much Ranger loves her. Feeding him would become a ritual. Sometimes she would run to Cameron's house after school to spend some time in his room before he got home from practice. Some days she skipped school altogether. Lying was second nature to Adrian by now. She lied to herself, to her mother, to school. Lying was like breathing, and she needed it to survive. She always carried a clipboard and rang the doorbell first. Just in case someone was home, she would pretend to be taking a neighborhood survey or perhaps pretend to be lost. She was quick on her feet. She definitely would come up with something. Every time she went to Cameron's house, she took a treat for the dog. He didn't even bark when she came in anymore. He greeted her happily. She went to Cameron's room and laid in his bed some days. She'd smell his pillow. She'd run her finger along the clothes in his closet. On one visit, she took a t-shirt that was at the bottom of one of his dresser drawers. In addition to visiting Cameron's room when he wasn't home and going through his things, she was watching him at school. She knew all of Cameron's friends and the guys on the football team and their girlfriends. She knew Cadence also liked Cameron. Cadence was, of course, a cheerleader. She was beautiful, but Adrian believed her to be only average and certainly beneath her. Adrian believed that Cameron wanted to be with someone intellectual, not a cheerleader. He was not that superficial. He was perfect. They made small talk in art class sometimes, but Adrian knew Cameron was just waiting for the right moment to make his move. She would brush by him in the hall and make eye contact with him in the lunchroom. On this particular Tuesday, she skipped last period and made her way to Cameron's house. After her usual ritual, she went up to take a nap in Cameron's bed. She was startled awake by the rumble of the garage door opening downstairs. She immediately hid in Cameron's closet. Adrian watched from the slats in the closet door as Cameron and Cadence clumsily fondled each other. She winced as Cameron kissed Cadence. Cadence pulled away and giggled. Thank you for this, she said to Cameron as she pulled a textbook from her backpack. Math has never been my strong suit, and geometry's killing me. If I don't pull my grade up, my mom says I'll have to quit cheerleading. No problem, Cameron replied. No practice today means we can study here instead of the library, and when you pass, I'm taking the prettiest girl in school to the movies Friday night. Adrian could feel her face burning and her hands shaking and sweating. Prettiest girl in school? Was he serious? Adrian watched them study and kiss until Cameron's father got home. She faintly heard introductions downstairs as Cadence left for the night. Adrian began to plan her escape from the house. Once everyone was in bed asleep, she slipped out of the closet and stood over Cameron as he lay sleeping. She kissed his lips and left out of the back door in the kitchen. Once she snuck into her own house, she lay awake all night, seething. The next day, Cameron was not at school. She called his house from the payphone in the library. His father answered, and she asked for Cameron. He can't come to the phone right now, his father said sternly and hung up. Back at Cameron's house, Cameron's parents were furious. Their neighbor saw a girl come from the backyard as he was putting his garbage out for the night. Not wanting to pry, but concerned about security, he told Cameron's father. Cameron swore he didn't know of any girl in the backyard. Cadence was the only girl he was seeing, and she left hours before. His parents believed that he might be sneaking her in and out of the house. They called Cadence's parents, and they in turn pulled Cadence out of school for a meeting at Cameron's house. This was serious. The kids were adamant, but their parents were skeptical. They were both grounded and not allowed to see each other. Cameron's father installed a security system along with a camera in the backyard and in the garage. Back at school later that week, everyone was talking about Cameron and Cadence. They were together, but the bigger news was that they were in trouble with their folks. The rumor was that Cameron's father caught them having sex, and everyone was losing their minds over it. Adrian sulked. She sneered at Cameron through art class. Of course, Cameron wasn't her boyfriend, but she felt betrayed. Didn't he realize how much she liked him? What was so great about Cadence anyway? And this forbidden star-crossed lovers thing was sure to bring them even closer together, so annoying. She needed to act fast, but first, a stop by Cameron's house during last period. This would be the last time Adrian entered Cameron's house. As she came into the garage, the brand new motion sensor camera started to record. The security company was silently alerted, and the police came into the house to find Adrian upstairs in Cameron's bed. When Adrian's mother got to the police station to pick her up, she knew this was the final straw. Adrian had a lot of problems and required a lot of help. She'd been arrested multiple times for breaking and entering. She'd been to therapy. She'd seen psychiatrists and psychologists. But it seemed there was no hope for her. She had no boundaries, and her behavior was escalating. Olivia had raised Adrian on her own and now found herself with no more patience for her behavior. Adrian was now in juvenile custody and began undergoing court-ordered psychiatric treatment. Because of her extensive record and behavioral problems, she was not getting out of there anytime soon. She told her mother that she really wanted help and she wanted to be better. Whether or not that was true, Olivia took her seriously. Adrian soon found out that along with the psychologist treating her, her mother had volunteered her for a state-funded clinical trial aimed at troubled women and teens. She read the criteria aloud to Adrian on one of their phone calls. Olivia stood in the doorway of Adrian's room. Posters of fresh-faced boy bands smiled back at her. She scanned the room with her eyes. Adrian was so meticulously clean for a teenager, nothing out of place. Olivia ran her hands over Adrian's dresser, opening and closing the drawers. She pulled one of Adrian's suitcases from under the bed, but it felt heavy. She opened the suitcase to find dozens of t-shirts, none she'd ever seen before. She pulled each shirt out, one by one, and as she unfolded each, a Polaroid of a teenage boy fell to the floor. Dr. Miller was a neurosurgeon who also studied psychiatry. Once Adrian was evaluated, there was no question she was the perfect candidate for this trial. It began with a series of treatments that required his patients to be awake and aware for the procedure. It was important to be able to measure response to the treatment. He believed mapping the brain, studying the bumps on the skull, was the path to mental and emotional stability. After much testing and sedation, Adrian was wheeled down to the operating room. The room was frigid, and probably for good reason. Adrian could feel the cold surgical table beneath her and the goosebumps on her skin. Dr. Miller's nurse began to shave Adrian's head. "What kind of music would you like to listen to, dear?" "Madonna," Adrian mumbled. She faintly heard the music start as Dr. Miller began to slice the skin from her skull for a complete analysis of her condition. This story was inspired by Crazy for You by Madonna. So give it a listen and think about how, quote, crazy you've been in your life over someone. As always, you can reach us at motormouthradiopresents@gmail.com. You can find me at XOXOJessicaXOXO on all social media platforms. 5-star reviews help move us up the charts, so if you'd be so kind, head on over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. In your comment, you can mention your favorite song. Maybe I'll write a short story about it. This is Motor Mouth Malone, signing off. Thank you for stopping by, and God bless Texas.